And then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I was growing in my faith, one question that always really kind of bothered me, that always stuck with me, was what happened to all of those people of the Old Testament? How were they saved? They didn't get to see Jesus. They probably would have heard the name of Jesus and would have thought nothing of it. It's just another name. And so how do they stand before God as righteous, as good, as holy? And it's in Hebrews that I found my answer. And in our reading today, we see that by faith, these people are made righteous in God's sight. That righteousness meaning they stand good before Him as good people, as their sins are forgotten. They stand there as God's people. In Genesis, we have many examples, as the author of Hebrews shows us, that we have Abel, whose sacrifice is more worthy and acceptable to God because of faith. We have Noah, who, because of his faith, is righteous. Not because he built the ark, but because he trusted in God. Same deal with Abraham. It was not because of who he was called to bear the promise, or who he was to bring the people to the promised land, or anything like that. It was because of his faith and his trust in God that he was counted righteous. Sarah was the same way. Sarah was advanced in age, past the age of bearing children, but yet she trusted in God. And so it is not because she bore the one who would carry on the promise, but because she trusted in God that she was righteous. And yet the author reminds us that all these people died. They are died, they are buried in the ground, that no matter how great they were, they still suffer that pain of death. And so how do we know and how are we certain that they too receive salvation from death? And it is through faith. Hebrews 11 is really the faith chapter of Scripture. That's what everybody likes to call it. We read Hebrews 11:1, which is a great definition of what faith is. The ESV says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And that's never really been very clear to me. I worked at a summer camp where this was our theme verse for the year, and we memorized it in the NIV version, which I think is a lot more clear. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. These are things that we are sure of, that we are convinced of, that we know for a fact that this is what God has promised to us. And I think an even simpler definition of it is simply trust. What do you trust? What do you rely upon in all of these things? And we are called to rely upon God in all things. Even though we can't see Him, we trust Him. We trust His word and His will for us. And as we look out into the world, what do we see? We see many people who do not have that trust, who are relying on themselves, living for themselves, living for their own desires. But we also see them struggling to keep up because they are only relying on themselves. And it's sort of strange, but you can sort of see this emptiness in them, that they're unfulfilled. You can tell by looking at people who are just relying on themselves that there's just something missing. When you have conversations with them, they talk about empty and worthless things, their jobs, their hobbies. And even on with that, we see growing trends of depression and hopelessness because their faith is misplaced, either upon themselves, and so when they fail, their faith fails. But we also see this with things like American politics, where people are trusting in broken individuals who are just as broken as they are, and when they fail, everything collapses because they were trusting in this one person. But we are not immune to that either. We also struggle placing our trust in other things. I have struggled many times in the past by placing my trust on myself to be able to do this or that to get things done, but it is foolish for me to place my trust in myself and not rely upon God. And it's a problem with the first commandment. Not to have any other gods. To have another god means that you are trusting and relying in something else, and even we ourselves can be our own gods. Politicians can be our gods. The world can be our god. And it is when we trust in and rely on those things that our lives fall apart, because eventually they fail. And it is in that failure that then we fail. We fall into pits of hopelessness. But the struggle also is in how we live in our Christian faith. This was a big thing of the Reformation. And I don't know how many of you studied Latin in high school or college or anything like that, but the Latin phrase is ex opere operato, and I just think it's fun to say. But also at the same time, that basically means that people are doing these things just because by doing them, it's effective, right? So I don't actually have to think about what I'm praying when I say the Lord's Prayer. I just have to say the words, and it's like magic. It just works, right? I don't have to know anything about the sacrament, but just eating the bread and drinking the wine makes it work, right? There is no element of faith to that. You have to pray this way. You have to worship this way. And if once you do it this way, then it's effective. And it is in that struggle there that we then turn this genuine worship into relying on ourselves. And this is what sin does. It lies to us. It fools us. It changes us to getting us to rely on ourselves and on our works and on the ways which we do things rather than on God. And as we are all extremely familiar, this isn't anything new. This is the problem since day one, that we have been failing to rely upon God instead of anyone else. But yet this is also the exact reason that God entered into our creation. That Christ came to us to be that perfect person. But notice that the righteousness of Christ is not found just because he is a perfectly holy living or because he perfectly relied on the Father. But the righteousness of Christ we find in the cross as that perfection that he is, was, and always will be is then placed on the cross for us, given up for us. He's taking our place to interrupt the power and the work of sin and to bring righteousness, to bring that good holiness, to be able to stand before God as his people, not relying on ourselves, but relying on him. It is through his work on the cross, it is through his death in the grave, that all of the work is done to make us righteous. And as he takes his place at the right hand of the Father, that place of power and authority on high, he continues to work for us and serve us with great power and authority. But then I think it's always helpful to ask, why do we care? Why do we still care about this Jesus guy who lived 2,000 years ago? He's a foreign man in a foreign land, and we're Americans. So why do we care about this Jesus? Why do we care that he died, that he was crucified? There were thousands of people crucified. Why do we care that this guy was buried in a tomb? Everyone has been buried in a tomb up until now. So why do we care? And it is because of things like faith and righteousness that we do. By faith, we are able to go to Christ and receive his righteousness that he willingly gives to us, so that then we can stand before the Father as good and pure. It is by faith that all of these things are given to us, that we no longer rely on ourselves. And what's absolutely amazing is that this whole thing of faith is a gift. As the Spirit comes into our world, our lives, our creation, to show us who God is and what he has done for us. Because the problem of sin is that it causes us to just go into this deep black pit of despair and sin and evil, where we are stuck and we cannot get out. And the Spirit reaches out to us in the middle of that darkness, pulls us out, and shows us God's marvelous light. Works then in our hearts to create that gift of faith. And we see this happening in places like holy baptism. We see it happening as we gather together around God's Word. It even happens as we receive the very body and blood of Christ. It's for the strengthening of our faith that we do these things. This is where the Holy Spirit works to come to us, to unite us with God, to make us new and holy people for Him, so that we would stand before Him as righteous, not relying upon ourselves. And then the next step goes, well, okay, I trust God, now what? What do I do with this gift of faith? And it's, of course, it's the change of life that we experience. It's no longer living for ourselves, but living outwardly focused. It's the walk of faith that we are called to live, focusing on God and His gifts to us, but also focusing on the people that God has called us to love and to serve. And if anyone has taken a step on the walk of faith, they know that it's not easy. That it's not easy. It's so hard to trust, especially because we cannot see God. We want to trust in His works, but we can't see Him actively at work. Well, typically. And so many times we see the effects of God's work, but sometimes it's months or even years later. So how do you trust in God? How do you rely on Him even in the midst of all of these things? And one thing that is important for us to remember is God's faithfulness towards us. God is always faithful towards us. He will forever be faithful towards us. And our faithfulness to Him His faithfulness towards us does not rely on our faithfulness towards Him. He is always there providing for us, because we will always change like the tides. We will have a strong faith, and then the next hour even, our faith will be just shattered, and it will be weak again. And as we are striving towards perfection and being God's children, it's a walk and a journey with many steps that we are taking. We get beat up, we get hurt, we get kind of frustrated and fussy that things don't go our way. But Jesus gives us some guidance on how to live in this walk of faith. He says, look out around you and see all of these animals and see how they are cared for. That it's the birds, the little critters, every little thing on this creation God cares for and provides for. And He says something that's very valuable and eye-opening to us, that we are of more value than those little animals. So trust in Him to provide for you. Don't get caught up worrying about those things. Trust in God. But of course, it's very difficult, right? When you're struggling with something that you're worrying about, just someone says, no, just trust. Just trust in God. It'll work out. That doesn't ever make me feel better. 9 times out of 10 makes me feel more anxious. Well, great, I'm worrying, and now I'm lacking in faith because I'm not trusting in God enough. But here, Jesus is saying, remember these things when you are anxious and when you're worrying. Look around you and see how God provides for you. But also, I would encourage you to think about those same things that Christ says as you are called to share this faith. Because you are not given the faith just for yourself. You are given the faith also to bring more people into the faith. This is the kingdom work that you have been given to do. And as I spoke earlier, we see all of these people caught up who are hopeless, who are depressed. It is through this faith that you can reach out to them and give them an unchanging and loving God. You see us doing this in things like VBS and Bible study and other things, sure, but the number one way to do this is through relationship, through continually connecting to people. You can't just say, well, you're worrying, trust God, right? It is through a constant reliance that you are showing these people that shows your reliance on God, that gets them to change and say, maybe there's something to this faith. It is through your work that the Spirit has given you, that you use these gifts, this word, these powerful things that we have to pass on this faith. This means that you are empowering and encouraging your family. This means that you are reaching out to people where they're at in their lives. And it could be in awful places like the depths of addiction. But by joining them with them relationally, you can show them what it looks like to trust in God. You can show them the new life that God has given. And it is through this that the Spirit works through you and in you and in your life, that you can lead them to a loving and faithful Father in heaven who provides everything for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.